Can I ask you a favor? Pray for me also, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Can you do that for me? Church family down in Escondido, California, one of the pastors while we were down there, Jason DeSena, he uses this at the beginning of every sermon. And I couldn't help myself but be inspired and impressed to just keep praying for him throughout. So may be inspired and keep praying. Today I want you to take away one thing. We get that out of the way, we're good. You, each one of you, are absolutely capable of doing God's work in every day. In every thought, in every interaction. So let me help you see the potential. One of the bloggers that I like to read online, her name is Hands Free, well, she goes by Hands Free Mama. And her name's Rachel. And I was inspired by her journey. She lives to be hands-free and be able to be hands-on in her life. So she's not so busy holding her phone. She's not so busy doing something that she's not able to pay attention and be in her moment. And she shared this story earlier this week. Even if his checkout line is a little longer, I always choose this particular bagger's line. This conscientious young man reminds me of a former special education student who brightened my first year of teaching. If I needed to move a chair, Dan was right there, refusing to let me lift a finger. If I was about to open a window, Dan was quick to say, "Let me do that for you, Miss Macy." If he heard that I was having car trouble, he'd offer to take a look during his lunch hour. Amazingly, Dan offered the same kindness to all his teachers and fellow classmates. Dan struggled with academics, but in altruism, he excelled. This particular bagger today resembles Dan in looks, but especially in mannerisms. The first time he bagged my groceries, I could see he was cut from the same cloth as my former student. He was a helper too. "Hello," said the young man as I pulled up my cart. "How are you today?" I asked. "Doing pretty good," he said with a slight slur and a big smile. As the man carefully bagged my items, he leaned against the end of the checkout stand to support his uneven posture. We chatted about the heat and the cat treats I'd purchased as he filled my cart with bags. When he got to the last two bags, I watched curiously as he hung them in an unsuspecting place. A few inches below the cart handle were two tiny metal rungs just big enough to hold the handles of a bag. "Wow, that's a clever idea. I've never seen anyone do that before," I commented. My 13-year-old daughter's head turned quickly from the row of celebrity magazines to see what all the fuss was about. Her face showed equal surprise. "That is a good idea," she complimented the man. The customer behind us peered around his cart and nodded. "That's new to me too," he said. Even the unsmiling cashier stopped ringing up items to look up. "That's Steve," she said flatly. "He comes up with some good ones." And that's when I turned to look at Steve. It was his moment. He was shining in his moment. "Can I borrow your idea sometime?" I asked the beaming young man. Steve nodded enthusiastically. "Sure, just be sure to get the bag right on the hook and nothing too heavy," he advised. As my daughter and I pushed our cart away, I glanced back at Steve. He was still smiling. He was still feeling his moment. Please never let me be too hurried, too distracted, too impatient not to notice these things, I prayed in my head. I decided the best reminder would be a picture. I could make it to be my life, or to be my screensaver, maybe a lifesaver too. When I got to my car, I snapped the photo. Suddenly, three words came to my mind. Low-hanging fruit. In the business world, the term typically means a quick fix that produces ripe, delectable results or a target that's easy to achieve. Yet, there is low-hanging fruit in everyday life, too. It's in welcoming faces and accepting voices and loving touches. It's in quiet acts of generosity that seek no recognition. It's in heartfelt conversations, sustained eye contact. You ever miss that, where people actually look you in the eye and have a moment? You actually connect. You can connect soul to soul, if you're actually looking in each other's eyes. And so many times we're, you know, well, okay, some of us are just chasing Pokemon, but others of us are just, you know, working or doing whatever. But there's days that if we don't get that special soul-to-soul contact, I think we're missing something. I know we're missing something. It's in the sky and the clouds and the birds and the wind. It's in the songs on the radio. It's in our loved ones' laughter. Sometimes laughter is one of those awkward things, but you know the people that you love, when you hear them laugh, and you just, that deep, full joy, full belly laughs. I mean, I gotta tell you, when it's my kids, it sends me right over the top. It's in handwritten notes. Do you know people still do those? I have a very dear friend that likes to send cards, and every time I'm just blown away. That's a simple thing. Handpick flowers. It's in the words, have a nice day as you leave the building. When you notice and acknowledge the low-hanging fruits of everyday life, gratitude washes over you and has the potential to spread to those around you and create positive results. But when you neglect to see the low-hanging fruit, perhaps due to hurry, impatience, overcommitment, need for control, perfection, distraction, exhaustion, or stress, you're more likely to focus on what is wrong. This focus often results in complaining and criticizing, self-absorption, hostility, despair. I mean, if you want to check any of these feelings out, be a California driver on the freeway going to Seattle. Just try it sometime. See if you can muster a trip without any of those feelings. I still struggle. But those results are negative, and they're not positive. One of the things I love about my husband is that he will encourage me while we're driving to be a safe distance from the car ahead. I feel like sometimes that's subjective, but I agree that safety is paramount. Preach it, sister. It's hard to be the driver, but it is hard to be the passenger. So, you know what he reminds me of on a semi-regular basis? They're not even paying attention to you. That person did not speed up or slow down to make your day worse. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they have their own thing going on. Maybe, right? Benefit of the doubt. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. More about my husband. He's a programmer. He's a web page developer. So essentially, if the website works, he's done his job. And all of his work is behind the scenes. So you never see it, just the results. So being self-employed for the last 20 years, get a shout out for the man, 20 years of self-employment, right? God is good because he's taken him through every single one of those 20 years, and it's been crazy for the ones I've been involved with. There are some times that he has felt a lack of ability to touch lives when he works from home most of the time. If you're someone who rarely goes out, you may relate. But what about your online interactions? Now, Rick has had numerous clients. He doesn't have 1,000 right now, but he has, over these 20 years, numerous clients. The way that he does business and the way that he treats each one under every circumstance is a ministry. Rick has also spent a lot of time studying the Bible, Christian apologetics, which is the study and practice of defending our faith, and regularly engages others online or face-to-face as a witness for Christ. We now affectionately call him our missionary disguised as a programmer. He's a life changer, simply because of how he lives for Christ in his day-to-day interactions. So this week, I was listening to The Wizard of Oz. It's an audiobook with my girl. So if you haven't read it, I promise only minor spoilers here. Anyway, we're listening and it hit me. Dorothy's journey was one of personal struggle. She was displaced from her life. And she couldn't go back home. But amidst her struggle, she helped those she encountered along the way. And the enrichment was to their life, but also to hers. Now, in the story, they got all their wishes because, let's face it, that's the way the story goes. But what I really enjoyed about their prize, their ultimate prize, was that it wasn't just a one person wins the prize. It took all of them to accomplish what was necessary for them to receive theirs together. And wouldn't you know, she returned to her life having learned how to pick the low-hanging fruits of gratitude and love for others. 11 years ago, nearly to this day, Hurricane Katrina, which was one of the deadliest hurricanes ever to hit the United States, ravaged the southeastern states along the Gulf Coast. An estimated 1,833 people died in the hurricane and the flooding that followed in late August 2005. And millions of others were left homeless along the Gulf Coast and in New Orleans. It ranks sixth overall in the strength of recorded Atlantic hurricanes. As Katrina made landfall, its front-righted quadrant, which held the strongest winds, slammed into the Gulfport and Biloxi, Mississippi, devastating both cities. A large storm surge raging from 10 to 28 feet devastated coastal areas along the southeastern Louisiana and coastal Mississippi. Ultimately, 80% of New Orleans and large portions of nearby parishes became flooded, and the floodwaters did not recede for weeks. The National Guard was called in to help with evacuations. Thousands sought refuge in the New Orleans Convention Center and the Superdome, which were overwhelmed. It was one of the largest displacements of a population since the Great Depression. According to the Data Center, an independent research organization in New Orleans, the storm displaced more than 1 million people in the Gulf Coast region. In July of 2006, not quite a year later, a small church from Escondido, California, dispatched a small group of youth along with seven adults to assist in the remaining cleanup. Working with ADRA, which is the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, we spent 8 days on site, each day working in a different area. I wish I could show you the video that we have from that time, but it would take far too long. Each day was a powerful lesson in gratitude for us. And first and foremost, one of those lessons was, hello, West Coast, you got nothing when it comes to humidity. You think it's hot? It's hot, yeah. You walk down there and it's like walking into a brick wall of heat and moisture. Boom. And you're supposed to move and you're supposed to lift and you're supposed to work. I'm certain that we all sweated far more than we took in. The people we met were so generous. Though they had very little, we talked to the residents and were able to pray with many of them. And the stories we heard were sometimes horrific. We heard stories of people waking up on top of their mattress and the ceiling is right above their head because their bed was up that high. A lady broke her arms but still managed to hang on to a tree when the waves were pushing past, and she had to encounter snakes also trying to survive. Sometimes you just can't even imagine. You can't imagine. And they sit there and they tell you these stories, and it's just super matter of fact. This is how it was. It was awkward, in a way, to be outside of their catastrophic life, but they never have made us feel that way. There aren't words to describe the devastation we saw firsthand, especially at the Ninth Ward, where the levee had broken in New Orleans. And yet the people there had no trouble picking up the low-hanging fruit. They were grateful for their lives, grateful for the progress made each day, grateful for a plastic water bottle that was refillable and only cost me a measly dollar, and for small candles. Would that have been me? Could I have seen and picked those fruits of gratitude? For Jesus' sake, I hope so. You know, it wasn't too hard to work for the Lord with these people. They were happy to have us. They welcomed us with open arms. But what about those who are not grateful for our service? Is it that much harder to serve them? In a word, yes. But not impossible. One of my former positions at a lumber company down in San Diego was a job coordinator. Sounds fancy, right? It wasn't. My job was to make sure that our largest clients' jobs, their construction jobs, ran smoothly by coordinating the delivery of their building materials as needed. Our company had a reputation for excellence in service, and so we always tried to exceed the customer's expectations. Now, most days that was hard because everyone's job was a rush. Surprise! It's like going to the ER and like everybody's bleeding, right? I think. I don't know. Don't ever ask me to run triage. I will fail. Everybody just needs one favor. It's a rush. It's a rush. One day it all came to a head for me. My frustration, not being able to pull off the impossible this time, and due to an overload on our system, my clients were outranked by some of the other higher clients. And I gave in to being short with one of the bigger clients that I got to work with. And I was unable to fulfill his needs as well. In short, long story short, I was demoted and made to answer to a peer that I had trained. Was I mad? You bet I was. The salesman that I had worked with to make impossible things happen for his clients had thrown me under the bus. And for weeks, everyone knew it. I'm kind of that hard on the sleeve girl, so usually you can kind of tell where I'm running from. Happy, sad, mad. I tried to keep it under restraint. I was working for people, though. But day after day after day, daily Bible reading was changing my heart. And one day, one of my coworkers asked me, "Why aren't you mad anymore?" Honestly, I hadn't even been thinking about it. The truth was, pride had gotten in the way of my serving. I had had to change my focus. I hadn't been focused on working for people anymore. My focus was more rightly trained on working for God, wherever I was and whatever the circumstances were. And it had made enough of a difference to cause others to pause. Was there low-hanging fruit there? Of course there was, but I had to look for it. Just like our muscles, using spiritual discipline and utilizing our gifts and talents strengthens them. If they are unused over time, they will atrophy, and we will not be serving in the capacity for which we were created. In my experience, I've never been more happy than when I'm serving the Lord. Our work is not defined by each great accomplishment, but rather by the way that we live each moment, striving toward His purpose for our lives. Our work is in each moment. My work is right now. Your work is right now. It's when your kid's yanking on your shirt, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, mommy." We are shaping others' lives simply by living ours, whether we like it or not. What matters is whether we take the time to smile, make eye contact to help, to encourage someone in their struggles, getting outside of our own. We're not to worry about success. No work that is done in honor of the Lord is wasted, no matter how seemingly insignificant. You ever hear of Christine Kane? She's somebody that I was introduced to, I guess, about 4 years ago. I went to a Women of Faith event, and she was one of the speakers. Christine Kane is an Australian activist, an evangelist, and an international speaker, and she writes books and has a podcast. She volunteered as a youth worker, and she helped establish the Hills District Youth Service. She went on to become the director of a nationwide youth ministry, Youth Alive. K- Kane founded Equip and Empower Ministries in 2000 with her husband. They are the directors of Equip and Empower and oversees offices in Sydney, Australia, and Orange County, California. Through Equip and Empower, they also oversee an initiative called Project Europe that offers ongoing mentoring, leadership training, and development to churches, pastors throughout Europe. Kane and her husband also founded the A21 campaign in 2008, which is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization which fights to abolish injustice in the 21st century. With 10 offices in 9 countries, their aim is to prevent human trafficking through awareness, to protect trafficked victims in shelters and transition homes, and to prosecute traffickers and strengthen the legal response to human trafficking, and to partner with law enforcement, individuals, corporations, official bodies, and other non-governmental organizations to end human trafficking in the 21st century. In January 2015, Kane founded Propel Women, an organization that believes in the passion, purpose, and potential of every woman everywhere. Propel Women exists to honor the calling of every woman, to empower her to lead, equip her for success, and develop a sense of God-given purpose. Christine has also been featured on several international TV shows. What a resume. Okay, right now I don't want you to think in your mind, okay, my resume and this resume, because that is not what this is about. She did not start out as an activist or an evangelist or an international speaker. She was abused when she was a child. She was adopted. She started out simply by showing up at church and setting up and taking down chairs to volunteer her time. You never start at the top. And the top will just as easily change the minute that you think you're there. The top is not the goal. Her first and foremost job, the important job, was showing up, willing to help in whatever capacity was needed. Today, she has literally been instrumental in changing thousands of lives. We can't all be Christine Kane, and we shouldn't be. God has a special calling for each one of us, and it is as simple as saying yes to being present in the moment. And that's hard, right? That's really hard. Talking about amazing people, Mother Teresa tirelessly worked her whole life serving those whom others wouldn't serve. Her aim was to make everyone feel wanted and loved. Can you imagine, just for a minute, being sick and being so disgusting that nobody wants to look at you or come near you? Touch you. Forget touching you. Like, be within 10 feet of you? Are you kidding? You know that you feel unwanted and you don't feel loved in those moments. Those are the people that God broke her heart so that she would serve. And she said yes. You know about her because she simply lived her life serving God, making little ripples that soon became overwhelming support for her missions. The humble beginnings of her service to the poor included begging for food and searching for somewhere to live. She lived in a way that gave her firsthand knowledge of the many struggles those that she helped were going through. She's been credited with some really beautiful words. I'm going to share some of them with you. Intense love does not measure, it just gives. Be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. Do not think that love, in order to be genuine, has to be extraordinary. What we need is to love without getting tired. Because each one of them is Jesus in disguise. Good works are links that form a chain of love. This one I'm sure you've heard. If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. Joy is the net of love by which we can catch souls. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Let us touch the dying, the poor, the lonely, and the unwanted according to the graces we have received, and let us not be ashamed or slow to do the humble work. The miracle is not that we do this work, but that we are happy to do that. Sometimes when we serve, we get in this habit, you know, okay, gotta, I'll be there, I've got this and this and this and this. And we forget that it's a joy and that it's an honor. The God of the universe has invited us to be part of his work, to be his literal hands and feet. If that isn't an honor, guys, I don't know what else is. We ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop. Our ocean would be less without any one of you. Can you relate to any of those? Can you find yourself in there? Where does that leave us today? This morning, I have to admit, I've been so nervous. My stomach had been jumping most of the morning. My mind kept circling around this work of mine for today. My big day. You see, I've had a desire to speak up front for many years now. I've been afraid of that desire because, not because I'm too uncomfortable to get up front, can do that, but because I also have a strong desire for words of affirmation. And that puts me in a place that is dangerously close to pride and coveting approval from others. I constantly have to remind myself that this is God's work. I am working for him out of love. Love for his unfailing and unconditional love for me. Love for the grace that he has shown me over and over and over again. I cannot help but love him back. One of the best ways of loving God back is loving his people. All of them. Look for the low-hanging fruit in every situation. In every person, even the one that's walking around like this, the one who took your parking spot, the one who's sitting mindlessly in the middle of the aisle with their cart while you're waiting to go buy at Costco. There's some low-hanging fruit, people. Look for it. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the low-hanging fruit. You have joy to take a moment and take in the experience. You have the strength to stop. What gratitude and joy are experienced when you call out beauty in someone else? Once your eyes have noticed ripe fruits, low-hanging for all to see and enjoy, you can't help but look for more. Back to the blog. In just a few days, this eye-opening practice has confirmed exactly how I want to live my life. I refuse to waste any more precious time cataloging my gripes and grievances. Instead, I want to catalog what is good and holy and helpful and true. Because the truth is this, the country needs, the community needs, the man who bags my groceries needs, my family needs, I need my catalog of beauty. And I know exactly where to find it. Life's divine beauties are right under my nose, ripe and ready, just waiting to be noticed. I shall notice. I shall bring attention to them, and I shall watch them shine in their moment. It will be mine too. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. No work is insignificant. All labor that uplifts humanity has dignity and importance and should be undertaken with painstaking excellence. Acts 20:35 says, in everything that I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Matthew 25:40, "And the king shall answer them and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Jesus, please touch our hearts. Please touch our minds. Please free up our hearts and our hands. Our work is simple, Lord. It's in every moment, the opportunities that you've given us, they come one after another. We have the opportunity to serve with you, to grab each one and take hold of it and run, Lord. May we live our lives in a way, Lord, that will change the world one little moment at a time. One kind deed, one smile, one helping hand, one bit of willingness to help. Lord, help us not to aspire to great things, but to do the small things with great love. Bond us closer and closer to you, Jesus, so that this comes as a natural phenomenon. Show us the low-hanging fruit in our lives starting right now, Lord. And please help us not to lose sight of that. Your mercy and your love and your grace, they equip and they empower and they free us to love others right back, all of them. So we love all of them, Jesus, because of you, and we love you too. Go with us today and bless our time together. Amen.